Welcome, everybody. This is the best live attended seminar I've ever done, which gives you an indication of how big an issue feet are and how inspired people are by the idea of the kind of healing that's possible in the way that we deal with feet handling issues. I've called this seminar Happy Horse Feet. And that's because, you know, happy horse feet are such a big deal. I said in the email that some of the people on the call this morning were actually going to be surprised at how far reaching into other things happy feet training would spread, that somebody would get a better PF from fixing the tension around feet, and that somebody would get a better shoulder in from fixing their feet, feet training, and somebody else would have a happier, more relaxed horse out on the trail. And that's because tensions are cumulative. So each tension, each unaddressed tension adds on to the next until it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you've got the straw that comes, break the camel's back. Now, the picture I put on that first page was one of Sunny being trimmed by Catherine Christensen, my rock star, the feet trimmer, who's studied this work as well, done a couple of clinics, and we have a ball on feet trimming days because, you know, she's got an open mind and learned heaps, and she's a joy to work with as well, that young woman. So this photo is of a day when she went to take Sunny's leg back. She's always had to do Sunny's leg quite, hind legs quite low, and, you know, she has the one leg in particular, she just has tipped up and trims around it, or she brings it forwards and trims it from underneath because Sunny's got some hind end issues. And this particular day, she went to bring the leg back and she ran, and Sunny couldn't give it to her. And she just paused and melted into the resistance of Sunny bringing. So instead of pulling the leg backwards, because, you know, she knows all too well that that's not useful, she just melted in and did this healing thing we call meet and melt that we do on fast track, that we learn on fast track, and paused there in that place with Sunny with this energy space that's just between the resistance and the coming away from the resistance. There's this energy space that's right there on the line, on the edge of the resistance. And Sunny, in her confidence with Catherine, literally released everything about picking up her hind feet. And there was an enormous feeling of expansion and energy change, and we were both quite, you know, overwhelmed by the expansiveness of what happened. But the big deal didn't show until later. Sunny's always had, the way her anus fits in her rump means that, you know, when she poops, that little bit of liquid on the side of a poop literally runs down her legs, and in springtime she gets caked in runny poo. It's just terrible. I have to keep washing the poor thing, and it gets all around her vagina, and on a hot day it dries there, and oh, it's like, that has completely changed. The structure of her rump has completely changed. Wow, I thought that was her confirmation. But it wasn't. It was a stressor held in her pelvis. We've just gone through full spring grass. She's even had, you know, gone into a new paddock and had poops that are a bit runny, and not a scrap of it running down her legs or any place that it shouldn't be except out on the ground. Just gobsmacking. So, what are the keys to success? What are the keys to success for happy feet training? An open-hearted willingness by us to understand what's behind them having tension or resistance or fear around their feet. Let me say this again, because even resistance has a good reason behind it. We tend to think of resistance being, you know, I was kind of taught that resistance was a disrespect. That is, it could not be further than the truth, from the truth. So the biggest key to success is an open-hearted willingness by us to understand what's behind them having tension or resistance or fear around their feet. And the other key to success is the desire to do right by them. And the photo on that slide is one of Catherine trimming Rapunzel at Libby. You know, you see on my Facebook page from time to time photos of Catherine trimming every horse in our herd at Liberty. She says, for God's sake, don't put those up too often, Jen, because I don't want my clients to think I, you know, everybody come up and want me to trim their horses at Liberty. And I get that. But Rapunzel used to be a snatcher. She used to snatch her, she'd wriggle her legs forwards and backwards and snatch it away. And here she is, just standing there loose in that giant yard in front of our hay shed, and Catherine's got her foot up on the stand, and every leg is just, yes, Catherine, here's my foot. Yes, Catherine, here's this foot. Yes, Catherine, here's that foot. So that's another one solved. We're going to talk about how in a minute. I'm just giving you the inspiration. Oh, while I'm at it, let's pause for a minute, and some of you who are into the more spiritual aspects of our work or have already had validation of how strongly your horses can come in, just think about your horse for a minute. And if you've got multiple horses, think of one that's got problems around feet trimming or is less happy around feet trimming. And just think of that horse and invite them to come into your mind while you're listening to this. We're going to do a meditation later, a quiet mind exercise that's specifically to help understand someone with feet trimming issues. But this is Sandra's idea, that we actually invite the horse in at the beginning of the seminar so that any thoughts and ideas and aha moments might actually come through as communication from your horse while you're listening. Ooh, that could be exciting, couldn't it? Okay, the next slide. In today's seminar, we're going to give you a web page full of baby steps that you can use to check for softness and understanding and relaxation, making sure that each step is in your horse's comfort zone. And I've put that link to that page is actually on the web page on your seminar call. And if for some reason in, you know, all the missing up this morning, that's not there, I'll have it on the replay for you. And the reason it's on a separate web page, because that's not where the magic is. The magic lays in our understanding of how to release old stresses and the tensions that are actually causing the health and the behavioural issues that exist now. It's not the baby steps and the techniques, and that's not where the magic is. Yeah, we need that stuff. We need to know how to break it down small enough to kind of help a horse, but that isn't where the magic is. How to release the old stresses and the tensions, and even the trauma. That's what we're going to teach you how to do today. And to understand how to do that, how to release the old stresses and tensions around our horse's feet, and how eventually it's possible to release even the deep kind of trauma that is causing PTSD type reaction, then first we need to understand the nuances of the comfort zone model. Some of you are familiar with the comfort zone model, but there's people here who aren't going to be. So, and even for those who are familiar with it, we're going to be talking about it in a slightly different way today. So I'm hoping that's going to be really useful for this feet trimming stuff. So let's start with the Oh Shit, I'm Dead zone. For anybody who's ever seen the Comfort Zone model lesson, there's a cartoon by Kim Wong of two little Brumbies in their yard with their eyes popping out of their head. She did such a good job. She's from Hong Kong and she woofed. She stayed here as a woofer once for a couple of weeks, and she's a really talented cartoonist. So the cartoon's actually of Joe, the little horse from the Key to the Kingdom of Horses. And by gosh, he was a horse in his Oh Shit, I'm Dead zone. So the Oh Shit, I'm Dead zone is a place where the horse can't think, they can only react. They only react with survival reactions that they established neural pathways with at some point, brain pathways, where they react the same way all the time. Many of those reactions aren't useful and some of them are downright dangerous. Just pause and kind of feel into this for a minute. The Oh Shit, I'm Dead zone. It's that big. It's that terrifying. You know, there's a bit of humour in it because I've, you know, used the word shit. But the reality of this is terror. Deep, visceral terror. Just makes me emotional thinking about that. We're all familiar with a horse who is mental. I guarantee, I'll bet there's not a person on this call who isn't familiar with the Oh Shit, I'm Dead zone. We're all familiar with a horse who's mentally, emotionally and even physically in their Oh Shit zone. There's no thinking happening, only automatic reactions. In defeat-trimming circumstances, these horses are snatching their legs away really fast. They might be slamming their foot down suddenly and really hard. Their eyes might be showing the whites, or they might literally be rolling. They might even lash out with a kick or a bite, and they're trying to get away. Some of them will be trying to get away, not all of them. Some of them are actually gone down deep inside. And that would take me to the next slide, which is still in the Oh Shit, I'm Dead zone, because on the other extreme end, you know, one end you've got horses who are trying to get away, who are trying to avoid the feet trimming, and at the other extreme end, what you might not be so familiar with is the horse that has been unable to save themselves from what's happening for so long that they've gone deep inside and have literally given up trying to save themselves. God, this is so sad. I see them everywhere at horse events. I don't go to horse events hardly ever anymore, but when I did used to go to them, you'd see them everywhere. You can pick them out because their eye is kind of flat and dead looking. Still in the Oh Shit zone, we have the caretaker horses who turn themselves inside out to avoid hurting a human, but if pushed to their outer limits, they become explosive when they can't hang on to their fear for just even one more second. Just feel into that. I call them caretaker horses. Lots of horses have aspects of caretaker horses, and some of them are extreme caretaker horses. And they tend to go inside themselves. Joe, the little Brumby from the Key to the Kingdom of Horses video, was literally shaking. You could see the trembling in his body while he was being trimmed, but he still stood there. But there's lots of caretaker horses who don't show their fear so dramatically. And you'll be able to feel that with your feel. Some of them, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you'd think they show it more visibly, but some of the caretaker horses actually look like they're standing there quietly and inside they feel revolting. And you'll be able to feel that with your feel, and we're going to do some feel work later in the seminar. Am I managing to do this with the... Would you not have in the pictures? Am I describing it well enough? I'm going to see if I can put this up on the replay for you. So then we have, we've done the oh shit on Dead Zone. Then we have another one that's called the Not Too Sure Zone. This is kind of between the comfort zone and the oh shit on Dead Zone, and it's in my picture, it's a narrow circle on the outside of the comfort zone. In this, when a horse is in this place, they have some tension and anxiety, but they can still think and learn there. But if they're in there for too long, think about what they're learning. What do you want them to be learning? Do you want them to be learning tension and anxiety? A little bit of tension and anxiety is okay, but stress and tension becomes chronic when they're too long in the not too sure zone. And the photo I've got attached with this one is Bobby. And it's a feet trim, probably the last feet trim that he ever had before he died. And Catherine's actually got his foot up. There was a while there where she had to trim his foot resting on the ground, trim his hind feet resting on the ground because he had some arthritis that kind of started building up after we retired him. He didn't want to retire. It was he was 27 when I retired him. And he would have preferred to have been ridden constantly, you know, three times a week, but I never got anywhere near that. And old horses, you can't bring them in and out of work. It's not fair on them. They haven't got the strength of muscles. Either keep the muscles strong or, you know, get the hell out of there. So in this particular photo, Catherine's got his hind foot up trimming it because he had released that tension in his hind end, I think in a few trims earlier, and she was actually able to lift it up. So here's the thing. The stress and tension that becomes chronic when they're in the not too sure zone for too long, Philip Nye, the guy who developed the comfort zone model, used to say 2 minutes, no longer than 2 minutes in the not too sure zone. That's way too long for those of us who aren't gobsmackingly world class horsemen like Phil is, with gobsmackingly happy horses already. He was already working with horses who were completely relaxed with him. So for him and them, the 2 minute rule was fine. But for us, 2 minutes is way too long. So here's what I wrote about the not too sure zone. The stress and tension around feet trimming can have adverse effects on everything that you do together. That tension does not suddenly disappear when you put your foot in the stirrup. It's still waiting there to bite you on the arse. Whenever there's some other pressure comes up, this feet trimming stress and tension adds another layer to the new stress. And sometimes that has disastrous results because it's a straw and, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing. Chronic stress also has enormous health impacts. I know there's some people on the call who've got some health impacts that they're hoping that this seminar is actually going to help them with, and I guarantee that it will. The interrelatedness of everything, the way stress and tension affects the muscles, and then, you know, the blood doesn't go to certain places in the muscles, and then organs are reduced in their blood supply, and nutrition that goes through to the doesn't go through to the organs. So you have a pancreas that doesn't work properly, a spleen that doesn't work properly, a liver that's under pressure, or kidneys that are under pressure, heart that's under pressure. You know, it flows through to everything, including bones and joints and all that kind of stuff. So the next photo is of Bobby galloping down the hill in long dry grass, galloping down the hill towards me the day after his retirement. And the heading says, take heart though, all this chronic stress and tension and the behavioural and health effects are changeable. Just feel into that. All this crap is changeable. I can almost feel the I can almost feel the sigh of relief rippling through people and horses. And we can change the health and the behaviour impacts of stress by working with our horse's comfort zone. This comfort zone stuff is so freaking important. The comfort zone is about feeling safe. It's that simple and that complicated, that big. In the safety of the comfort zone, things feel comfortable. There's a dir. They're relaxed. They're familiar. They feel good. It feels good. And learning is easy. I used to think that you didn't learn. We were taught that they didn't learn in the comfort zone. They only learned in the not too sure zone. That is absolutely and completely not true. You can actually create such a beautiful feeling of safety with your horse that their curiosity and their desire and their willingness to learn new stuff comes into play. It's so freaking exciting once you've got a horse in that place. The next slide talks about the deep comfort zone. Deep in the heart of the comfort zone is what I call the deep comfort zone. And that's where the trauma release happens. And the automatic neural pathways in the brain can change. This is where the automatic reactions change, where the stress releases, where you can actually help your horse release the stress and the tension from that stress just dissolves away. Blood starts to flow into muscles that have been starved of nutrition. Bones can slide into place, and I've seen them slide into place in front of my eyes and in front of many other people's eyes as well. The posture of our horses change. They carry themselves differently. They move more smoothly and more powerfully. Energy moves around their bodies differently, and even organs can heal. And the more we work in the deep comfort zone, the bigger the comfort zone gets, until there's very little oh shit zone left. Just feel the wonder of that. Oh. People walk into my horse herd, and, you know, horsey people walk into my horse herd and are gobsmacked by what it feels like to be amongst that herd. This is a bunch of horses, a bunch of empowered horses. And it's not that we don't have shit happen, because we do. And it's not that I don't crack the shits every now and again, because, you know, that's me, unfortunately. I'm improving and getting better and better all the time. But they just have this powerful feeling of confidence that they are listened to, and that what our shit zones come up, we work on. So that the things they don't need to be afraid of, but they don't need to take action on, they get comfortable with. So here's the nuts of this seminar for those of you who are keen on learning how to release even old stress and tension. Now, before I do this, I'm just going to flick back to the board and make sure everything's going well here. Yes, it is. And Sandra would tell me if there was anything going on anywhere else. Okay, so here's the meat of the seminar. How we can release even old stress and tension. It's a simple process which involves using our feel for our horse, and we're going to do a feel exercise at the end of me talking for new people to get their conscious feel happening, and for students who are familiar with their feels to go into a deeper level of confidence with it. So here's the process of stress and tension and trauma release. At whatever stage we are working with our horse's feet, you know, we're walking towards our horse to pick their feet up, we start noticing our own feeling of stress or tension, which will be our horse communicating with us, and that's our feel for our horse. We'll be talking a lot about that later. From the time we start walking towards them, we notice the stress and tension that starts rising within us. And any time we notice that, then we take the pressure off by stopping what we're doing, by backing off, literally stepping away. At the beginning, it's stepping away. As you get further down the track, it doesn't have to be actually stepping away, but right at the beginning, step away and wait for them to lick and chew. And wait as long as that takes, which is incredibly important, especially at the beginning. Okay, I'm going to read that again. You're walking towards your horse and you've committed to noticing what you feel like inside yourself. And when you feel the stress or tension starting to rise in you, that will be your horse communicating with you. That's your feel for your horse. Then you're going to take the pressure off by stopping what you're doing, backing away, and waiting for them to lick and chew, and waiting as long as that takes. And if you haven't done this work before, you could be there for a while. The more present we are, the more with them we are in the moment, the more confidence our horse develops in being heard. I'll use the word heard, but for so many of you, you will feel your communication with your horse differently. The bigger their comfort zone is getting because of feeling heard, and then the faster the release can happen. So the more present we are, the more with them we are, the faster the release can happen. And the releases can be so profound, they can leave you laughing and crying. Your horse can show you stuff, you can feel stuff, you'll feel an expansive feeling of rightness. Some of it's very subtle, you know, some's just a bit of a sigh, you know, as they let go a layer of something, all the way to the, you know, from the subtle stuff all the way to the big stuff. But right now, smile for me at the idea of enjoying the time of being with your horse while they work through and process and release that old stress and tension. Just sit here for a moment and feel the sheer wonder of being able to help them that much. Oh, I've got goosebumps running up and down my back. Enjoying the time of being with your horse while they work through, while they process whatever they're letting go, and while they're releasing that old stress and tension. So when I was talking about that process of stress and tension and trauma release, I kept talking about walking towards your horse. As you walk towards your horse, you might be able to walk towards them perfectly happily. You might be able to run your hand down their leg. I've got the baby steps on that webpage. You might not feel the stress and tension rising until you actually go to hold the leg. You might not feel the stress and tension rising until you go to pulled the leg into position or bring the leg into position to trim it. Wherever that feeling of stress and tension rising, it's at that point that you stop doing what you're doing. If you've got the leg up already, that's when you put the leg back down and step away from the horse and wait for them to lick and chew. Such a simple process and so freaking profound in its effect. So this next photo is of this one of Bobby and one of little Blondie, both being trimmed at Liberty. And the heading says, Bobby was generous but not relaxed at trimming time. Even though he was so generous as to cooperate, he still had tension caused by feet trimming that I reflected later and thought, wow, how much of that was affecting everything else that we did. One day we'd been having trouble with Sunny. Sunny had not long arrived and she was freaking lethal with one foot. Just one foot was lethal. And we'd been working on that, and Kat, my feet trim at the time, said to me, you know, Jen, none of your horses are completely relaxed with their legs. And I kind of groaned and rolled my eyes because, holy snapping turtles, I had 11 horses. Who's got time to feet train 11 horses? That's what I was thinking at the time. You know, all the work we put into Sunny, do I have to do this times 11? So anyway, we've had a circumstance in a clinic where a little horse who was scared of his saddle actually learned from one of my horses, and there's a whole story there that I won't go into today because we're focused on feet trimming. But I came to understand that happy, relaxed horses could actually, that other horses could learn from them. So I thought we'd give this a go with the feet trimming thing. And I thought, who's the best horse at being feet trimmed? It was Bobby, because he was supremely cooperative, stood there beautifully, lifted everything nicely. I thought, we'll see if we can get him super relaxed with his feet and see what effect that has on the rest of the herd. So that's what I did. I worked with Bobby with exactly the process that I've described a minute ago, helping him to find his deep comfort zone around his feet. And the result of that was that the whole herd found their comfort zone at the same time, so that I didn't even need to feed train multiple horses. They learned from Bobby as we were working together. And in fact, little Blondie had been terrified of her feet trimming in her previous home. The miniatures were literally tipped upside down because they could be, you know, they were small enough. tipped upside down and their feet were trimmed while they were lying on their backs. And she had been terrified of her feet trimming. And the first trimming after Bobby's deep comfort zone, Blondie presented herself to Kat at Liberty, walked up to her and lifted a little foot up and said, "Trim me." So God bless horses that can learn from each other in such a beautiful place. I can feel some of you with multiple horses giving a sigh of relief. So this next slide is how we supported Sunny to release her PTSD. Sunny's thing was so big, it was literally a PTSD reaction that she had no control over whatsoever. It's literally a snap she had no control over. She was lethal when she arrived. She'd slam one hind foot down so hard and fast that if there'd been a feet trimmer's arm or leg in the road, they would have had broken bones. We made a commitment to her that we weren't going to make her pick that foot up. Part of that was that I wasn't prepared to allow my feet trimmer to get hurt. It took 5 months of walking away with that foot untrimmed or unfinished. I didn't have a whole lot of attention on it for that whole 5 months. It was just at featuring time and occasionally when I had a free moment. We approached picking up the foot as far as felt good on any given day. We backed off when we felt the first sign of her stress and tension, and then we waited for her to finish processing and to signal that by licking and chewing and stretching and yawning. And I don't think it was coincidence that her big PTSD relief happened not long after I'd worked with Bobby and the whole herd that I just talked about. And the whole herd changed their tension levels around feet trimming, and that had an influence. I'm sure that had an influence on her desire to actually let, her desire and willingness to let this PTSD thing go. Because when you're working at that kind of deep level, the horse has to want to do the work. Anyway, on this one memorable day about 5 months after arriving, she showed Kat and I with a gobsmacking whoosh of anguish that we both felt so intensely, how her then trainer, I cry every time I think about this, gosh, how could somebody do this? God bless them. Her trainer had tied her leg up in the air. You know, they put a loop around the hind foot and then tie it around their neck so it's tied in the air. And she fought and thrashed. She showed us, visually showed both of us, like almost video footage on the inside of our minds, falling onto the ground and there where she fought some more there until she gave up and thought she was dead. Ah. That was the stress and tension that had been tied up in her ability, in her inability to hold that foot up for trimming. Kat and I both cried our eyes out, like I'm an easy crier, but Kat wasn't. You know, she's this really gruff, practical woman, and she was bawling her eyes out too. The communication of that anguish was so strong and so powerful, and from that day on, Sunny could pick that foot up. Far out. Such a simple process. You know, I've described it 3-4 times now. Such a simple process. Once the horse has got enough confidence to desire to release something as big as PTSD. Oh, gosh. So what were our keys to success with Sunny? The commitment, our commitment to expanding her comfort zone instead of using force or making her pick her foot up. Just pause and feel into that for a second. A commitment to not use force or make her pick her foot up. The commitment to expanding her comfort zone instead. The list of specific things that you can look at getting in her comfort zone are on that web page that I linked to, and you'll have access to that page with the recording too. In fact, I'll probably put the recording on that page and send you the link to it so that you've got access to a replay, and you'll actually be able to download it, and I will download it for you so that you can download the slides so that you can see it all on the slides. How you expand the comfort zone is exactly the same process as releasing stress and tensions. It's the same thing, but it usually goes a lot faster. So we go, I'm repeating this, but the more I repeat it, the more it's going to sink in, go as far as we can into picking their foot up until we feel that first warning inside of us that the tension is rising, and we put the foot down, back off, and wait for them to finish thinking about it. And they signal that, they finish by licking and chewing. And the next time you'll get further into the task of picking the foot up happily. for those of you who have had exposure to the calming signals theory of horses, don't worry, that's different. Their idea of what a horse is signalling by licking and chewing is different from my idea of signalling by licking and chewing. The fact is that horses are smart enough to figure out, they know what you're thinking. So the calming signals people, the horses signal their stress by licking and chewing. Horses that work with me signal their understanding and release by licking and chewing and yawning and stretching and feeling really good. Anyway, so where do I get to? They signal, when they finish thinking about it, they signal that by licking and chewing. You don't want to interrupt that. You don't want to be patting them or changing things or interrupting them, because then you've got to do the whole thing again. The next time you go to pick the foot up, you'll get further into the task. So each time you expand the comfort zone, each stress and tension that you release, the next time you'll get further into the task of picking the foot up happily. So here was another key to success. Was our willingness to walk away for 5 whole months with the job undone. That was a major key to success. Here's the thing though. What's 5 months of crappy looking feet compared to a lifetime of bottled up trauma and the health and the behaviour issues that went with that? What's 5 months of crappy looking feet? You know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I did not enjoy 5 months of walking away with one foot not trimmed. But what is that compared to a lifetime of bottled up trauma? That anguish that she showed us was bottled in her body. And she is so utterly wonderful these days. The photo that's on this slide, she has a dicky foot that needs a bit extra work, sometimes especially clipping on the bar. She's a bit kind of tends towards a slightly clubby foot. And Catherine comes every fortnight. We spread my horses around over a fortnight because we've got a couple that need trimming more frequently than 6 weeks. A pony that needs trimming more frequently than 6 weeks. And we do this by just doing 2 or 3 horses at each trimming session. So she's here every fortnight. And Sunny regularly comes sidling up to Catherine, parks herself next to her tools and picks that dicky foot up and says, could I have this bit of my bar clipped off, please? And it's not necessarily the same thing all the time, but, you know, Catherine makes that tiny adjustment that makes her foot more comfortable and Sunny wanders off. The whole thing's done at liberty. This is the same horse who was so gobsmackingly lethal. Okay. The heading for this next slide says, what's even bigger than the techniques? And again, I'm pointing out that there's a whole web page full of steps to think about that will help your horse to develop a comfort zone with each step of the leg and feet handling process that you can look at after the seminar. But it's who we are being that is the biggest key to success. Just pause and feel into that. Who we are being. It's that open-hearted willingness to understand what's really going on here that we talked about at the beginning. That is the biggest key to success. It's listening to our horse, both our willingness to listen to them and our ability to listen to them. And our ability to listen to them is that unique way that each of us experiences our feel for our horse. And we're going to do an exercise on that after the slides. Everybody can do it. I haven't met anybody who can't do it. I've met a couple of people who thought they couldn't. And I've had only one person that I've seriously struggled with. But these days, the way I understand celebrating our differences, I don't think I'd have any trouble with that lady anymore. And that's out of thousands of people that I've taught to do this. This is the normal, everyday way that normal people experience their connection with others. Nothing weird or airy-fairy. That's our ability to listen to them via the unique way that each of us experiences our feel for our horse. It's our horse's confidence that we can be relied on to take action on what we hear and feel. And that takes the pressure off them so that they can think and even enjoy learning how to have happy feet. Just pause on that for a minute and just think about how incredibly wonderful that would be, that our horse could enjoy learning how to have happy feet. And on that slide page, there's a cute little cartoon of King Wong's. It's actually me with my eyes closed, an angelic look on my face, and a pretty little red heart, you know, because it's the heart stuff. It's the heart stuff that counts here. That's the biggest key to success, that open-hearted willingness to understand what's really going on here. I look forward to you seeing the slides on the replay. This next slide is more about what's bigger than techniques. Being prepared to walk away with the job not finished, because that's all our horse can deal with today. Some really big stuff, they have to deal with it in layers. When you're working like this, walking away with a job unfinished does not mean that you just taught them to not pick their feet up. I know that's a natural horsemanship thing, that you keep going until you get a result, because, you know, actually it's not just natural horsemanship, there's all kinds of horsemanship that thinks that's true. There is such a cooperation thing that starts happening when you work like this that makes that attitude a complete non-event. You don't even have to worry about it. In fact, walking away with the job unfinished, when you're working off your feel and you walk away with the job unfinished, that the horse can gain such confidence from that, that their whole cooperation level just goes through the roof. And here's the next point that's bigger than a technique. It's okay for us to make a mistake. Some of the perfectionists amongst us, and I'll recognise you because, you know, from one perfectionist to another, it's okay for us to make a mistake. And it's okay for our horse to make a mistake. In fact, we are going to welcome mistakes from now on. When you're working with this feel stuff with your horse, with this willingness to support them to, you know, have happy feet and, you know, expand that into a whole life of everything being like that, we welcome mistakes. And they don't hold them against you. In fact, the opposite. There's a confidence in being able to make mistakes and not have them held against you on both sides of the relationship. Have a feel into that. Right now, have a feel into that. The confidence for both of you to be able to make mistakes far out. Wow, somebody just had 10 tons come off them. And last but not least of the slides, when we apply the same feel that we use to help our horse have happy feet, you know, the same feel that we're going to expand on in the meditation exercise in a minute, don't let the word meditation put you off either. I couldn't meditate until I started doing it like this either. When we apply that same feel to our other relationships in our lives and use it to navigate our lives to know what's good for us and what's not good for us, then the ups and downs of life become so much easier to deal with. For me, people are surprised when I talk about how angry I was. Gosh, you know, when I flew off the handle, I'd scare the crap out of myself, let alone everybody else around me. Very explosive. For me, it meant understanding. For me, understanding this feel stuff with my horse meant that I got a handle on my own anxiety and frustration and anger, so that all these feelings are fleeting now. And I've found a wisdom that I didn't know I had, and an enjoyment in life as I've discovered the real me underneath all that shit. So, as I said, last but not least, you know, such a gift that horses bring us. And I'm just feeling into the absolute gratitude of that. And there's a bunch of advanced students on the call today, and I can feel you all just soaking up the appreciation of that, of what that's done for you too. We are so blessed to have horses in our lives. Okay. We're going to go and do the meditation exercise around feel and feet trimming and understanding a feet trimming problem now. Hang on to your questions, because I think some of the questions are going to get answered in the meditation. So I don't think I've done a seminar with so much talking. Usually our seminars are very interactive. We'll do have a bit of interaction at the end of this quiet mind. Okay. Just make yourselves comfortable, everyone. I'll just do a quick look at the board. Make sure everything's still going nicely. Although I'm sure Sandra would have let me know if it wasn't. I have never had so many people live as we've got in this seminar. This is wonderful. It's huge. Lucky I don't need to talk to everybody today, because I'd never be able to. Okay. Oh, I'm just going to have a bit of a stretch and a wriggle. You might like to as well. Roll your shoulders. We've been sitting for a while. Okay. Make yourself comfortable. I thought the most productive way of expanding our field today would be to do a meditation around understanding our horse at feet trimming time, and what, if anything, we can do to support them being more relaxed during feet trimming. So that's our goal with this meditation. So, with a gentle smile, just smile, everyone. Just a sweet little smile, doesn't have to be too big. And a commitment to be gentle on ourselves and our horses, and for both of us to enjoy the journey of happy feet trimming. Knowing that everyone feels differently, and that out of all of these ways that I'm going to talk about feeling inside yourself, some of these ways will be more your talent than others. So don't have any concern if I say something and you can't feel it. Don't have any concern about that. That will just be not your talent, it'll be somebody else's. You're going to have your own unique mixture of these feels. Oh, excuse me, just a little bit. So, pay gentle, smiling attention to your outward breath. Notice the way that the lower part of your ribs move inwards to squash the breath out of your lungs. Notice the parts of your body that move as you pay gentle, smiling attention to your outward breath. And notice the way that the lower part of your ribs are just squashing that last little bit of breath from your lungs. And as you're noticing your outward breath, notice how the ribs are kind of flaring open more easily than they were for the inward breath. But you still got your attention on the outward breath. And notice the tiny pause. The tiny pause that's starting to happen at the bottom of your breath, at the bottom of that outward breath, where for just the tiniest moment you don't need to breathe at all. And you're not doing that on purpose. Just notice that tiny, yummy feeling of pause at the bottom of your breath. Some of you who are new to this probably want a little bit of a stretch and a shoulder roll as you're letting off some tension. Paying gentle attention to your outward breath. Smiling with your eyes. Smiling all the way to your eyes. Now see if you can feel your heartbeat. Don't worry if you can't. If you can't quite feel it, then just imagine that you can. And if you can't imagine, then that's okay too. I love that people can feel their heartbeat so much more easily than me. It took me years to feel my heartbeat. And what a beautiful heartbeat this is. Smiling with my eyes. And paying gentle attention to my outward breath. Some of you will still be wriggling and some of you will still be wanting to stretch, and that's all absolutely perfect. Notice any emotions that float around as we're breathing and feeling our heartbeat and steadily quietening our conscious mind. Just observe any emotions that come up and allow them to flow, feeling the rightness of all of our feelings. Somebody's still wriggling and that is perfect. Just allow that wriggling to drop the stress off your shoulders. They feel so freaking tight. Notice any energy moving around your body, any tingles in your arms or legs. Notice the flow of any energy. Notice any stuck spots. This is just for the energy people. Some of you won't feel that at all. But for those who have a natural talent for energy, just observe the flow of the energy and the stuck spots, knowing that everything has brightness about it. Allow the thoughts and ideas to float across your mind. Even the most negative of thoughts have value and rightness. observe any thoughts and ideas, noticing the patterns of them and the other feelings brought up by them, all the way to the pure gold at the bottom of even the most negative thoughts and ideas. Just allowing them to flow, knowing the rightness of them, the smiling rightness of them. Now notice if there's any physical feelings in your body right now. Softly and gently, with a bit of smiling eyes, allowing your eyes to smile softly. Allow your attention to wander over your body and just notice any physical feelings or tensions in your body right now. What we're doing is we're noticing what we feel like. There's going to be a rightness in those physical feelings of tension, and that's going to become apparent in a minute. So I've had people who've been in pain, and it was just this communication stuff. So you can allow it all to flow. You can allow those physical feelings and the tensions and the discomforts. You can allow your awareness to just flow with them. Observe them and breathe. Ah, there's some new people whose shoulders are really coming down now. Soft, smiling. Eyes, you know, that kind of that you have when you're feeling really good. Noticing everything about how we feel as we deliberately soften our eyes. We allow our eyes to soften and we smile. Feel the feeling of smiling and the impact that that has on your body. Now, think of your horse at feet trimming time. Keep feeling inside yourself as you just kind of have an intention to feel your horse at feet trimming time. You don't have to have a vivid imagination and have your horse's image in front of your mind or anything complicated like that. You can do that if you like. But it doesn't have to be like that. You just set your intention to feel your horse at trimming time. Feeling inside yourself, because that's where the communication happens, inside yourself. And paying gentle attention to everything about how you feel and what's changing in your body as you allow yourself to think about your horse at feet trimming time. What we're doing here is allowing communication. We're noticing how you experience communication from your horse, and we're applying that deliberately to feet training time and how you can support them to have happy feet training. Notice what changes in your body as you think about your horse at feet training time. Just noticing it, there's no right or wrong here. This is just communication. Soft, smiling. Eyes. Just communication. Beautiful communication. Once you've got communication, you've got everything. Has your breathing or your heart rate changed? For some of you, that's a communication from your horse with physical feel. Did you notice that your breathing got shorter or longer or easier or harder? Did your heart rate speed up? Did it slow down? Can you feel tension in your body that wasn't there before? Soften your eyes at it. That too is just communication. This is your horse communicating. If you can feel physical tension that wasn't there before, that is just communication from your horse. This is exactly what you're looking for. And all you want to do is know it. So keep breathing, paying gentle attention to this outward breath. And again, remember, your feel is unique. Physical feel may not be strong for you. So if you don't feel any tension, don't worry about that. That's not your natural talent. Everybody does it differently. That's the whole thing about this stuff. So have any emotions come up for you that are your horse communicating with you with emotional feel? Just smiling. Even smile at anxiety. There's no right or wrong here. This is just communication. Feel the beautifulness of that. This is communication. You can afford to let those feelings flow because this is just communication. And still breathing that outward breath. And if emotional feel is not your thing, then have a feel if energy feel might be. If energy feel is one of your natural talents, then how's the energy in your body feeling? Is it flowing or is it stuck differently than before? Again, there's no right or wrong. This is just communication. Smiling softly with your eyes at even stuck energy, knowing that there's a rightness in it. There's a rightness in the communication. Oh, I'm feeling a little stretch needed here. Oh, I just felt a neck bone pop into place. I wonder if I'm going to find out in a minute that someone on the call or even someone on the replay has happened with us sometimes. And if mental feel is your natural talent, and there's thoughts and ideas that are flowing across your mind, even negative thoughts about whatever, what's happening with them? There's no right or wrong with the thoughts and ideas. Just follow the patterns and the feelings brought up by the thoughts and the ideas. It's all just communication. Smiling gently and observing any thoughts and ideas, flowing with them all the way to the gold at the bottom of it. Feel your face soften with a smile, knowing that no matter what these thoughts and ideas are, they are just communication. Smiling with your eyes and appreciating the heck out of your horse and this wonderful opportunity to communicate together in whatever way has been your natural talent today. Soak up the appreciation of your horse and this opportunity. This beautiful communication together in whatever way is your natural talent today. And in this space, in this beautiful space of appreciating your horse and this opportunity, just make a conscious decision to notice and understand how you can help your horse at feet trimming time to have happy feet. Because the answers don't have to flow today. They can come in, they'll flow in easily whenever. Intention is a gobsmackingly powerful thing. When you set your intention in this kind of energy, you are going to get the answer. Whether it flows between now and the next trimming time, or whether it flows while you're doing the next trimming time, be paying attention to what's going on inside you at the next trimming time, especially all the time that you're with your horse, but especially at the next trimming time. Be very conscious and deliberate about it and open to the communication from your horse that will tell you how you can help them to have happy feet at trimming time. And my suggestion is that all of you do some work with your horses before the trimmer or the farrier. You set your intention to enjoy the journey to happy horse feet. Just feel how yummy that is. How yummy the idea is that you could enjoy the journey to happy horse feet. Gosh, that feels, I can feel little bubbles of happiness kind of floating up with that idea. Now, anybody who has a trimmer or a farrier that they think would enjoy this seminar, email me and let me know, because I'm happy to make a gift of this seminar to them. I can't imagine a more beautiful way of spreading the love around the world than spreading this around to open-minded farriers and feet trimmers. Okay, when you feel it's time, when you're ready, come back to the room. Open your eyes and look at your computer screen if you've had your eyes closed. Feel the clothes on your skin. Really kind of, you know, shift your body and feel the clothes on your skin. Rub your feet on the floor. Give yourself a little wriggle. And take the pleasure of this knowing, and knowing that you're going to get more knowing. Take the pleasure of this out into the rest of your day. Oh, gosh. That was big. Okay. I always come into the board afterwards and ask people if they've got any questions, and I've got Susan with her hand up. Susan, I've opened you up. Did you put your hand up by accident sometimes? Okay. Can you hear me? Yes, darling. Okay. Ask your question first.
My question is about Sunny, of course, for the seminar, and who would poop on her. I also wonder, did she
gosh, we've got a lot of breaking up. And darn it, you just dropped out. Okay, when she comes back in, Let me see if I can feel her question.
Are you there?
Yeah, I just opened your bank. I saw you joined back in. I heard that your question's about Sunny.
Right. And I don't know the proper term of this, except when mares come into heat and all that gunk that comes out of them, some of them more so than others, did that also go down her tail and her leg?
No.
Or is that different from the poop?
That was different from the poop. No, she just had dried poop, you know, running down her legs, and I'd have to wash it off, and it would be sticky, and especially in the summertime, I'd have to really stay on it, or she got really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I have a new horse, comes into very, very, very heavy heat, and all that goo comes out and sticks to her leg almost like paint.
Wow.
You can't get it off. You can't brush it off.
Yeah.
And when I first got her, I thought, the lady I bought her kept her in a muddy, she lived in a muddy area, and said that it was just mud on her legs and mud on her tail. And I just, come to find out, it was poop on her tail and lay all her heat gunk.
Okay. Do you know what I do with this? There's a meditation on my website. If you can't find it easily, if you put Reiki Grid, R-E-I-K-I-G-R-I-D, into the search this site at the top of a blog post, and if you put those two words in that search this site box, then there's a couple of meditations that will come up. One is for using the Reiki grid to meditate and send healing to someone else. If you get me to put the horse in the Reiki grid, you could use that meditation to see if you could understand and help her around that, because it's not normal for a, like, I haven't had a lot of mares, and it's not like I've got breeding experience, but that doesn't feel normal to me, that it should be that strong. And the thing is, the thing to understand is that stress and tension affects organs and hormones and brain chemicals and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, when you go to do this meditation, you might actually get an idea of, you would go into that meditation with the Reiki grid with the idea of understanding how you can help change the stress and tension around whatever's been going on for her. And whether that's even just accepting that this is normal for her and not to worry, or whether, like Sunny, there's something that you can do for her to help. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm looking at the blog here, and it says Reiki Grid Healing for others feeling unwell, free Reiki healing meditation. So, which did you?
I can't look at it at the moment, because I'm here in the seminar, but it's the one, there's two meditations, one for yourself and one to send healing to others. I did it when the coronavirus outbreak first happened, and people had all their oldies and their loved ones in hospitals and weren't allowed to see them and stuff. So I gave them a way of sending healing to them and feeling a bit better about the whole thing. Yeah. And if you still can't find it, if you're still not sure, then whack me an email and I'll give you the link after the call. So, Susan, how did that meditation go for you? What came up in it for you?
What came up in it was, I'm really glad to be back. I'm really glad to hear you talking.
Oh, lovely. I haven't talked to you for ages.
I know. And, Also, I am a trained barefoot performance trimmer and have been doing it. And I have seen all kinds of horses.
Okay.
Most horses with issues. Most any horse I come.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my experience too. We're getting an awful lot of breaking up, Susan, and I can't hear about half of your words. So we're really having to guess what you're saying. But you just made an incredibly big point. As a barefoot trimmer, there's hardly any horse out there who doesn't have tension in their body at feet trimming time. Is that a fair comment? Yep, that sounded like a yes.
Yeah, but okay, I'm going to switch computers so that you can...
Okay, well, we'll come back later then because I'll talk to somebody else in the meantime. Okay, who would like to talk to me about what came up in that meditation? Hit star 2 to raise your hand. There's a little keyboard somewhere. Hit star 2. For those of you who know me, you know I'm going to go around the board and pick somebody. So who am I going to pick? Actually, how about we pick a brand new person who's never been here before? And if you don't want to, this will make people run away. If you don't want to, Patty, I'm about to open you up because you've not been on our one of our calls before that I can remember anyway.
Right.
So if it doesn't suit you to talk to me, then just go, oh no, Jenny, and I'll close you back up again.
No, I'm here.
Okay, we've got too much echo. Actually. Talk together. That's a bugger. That happens sometimes. Say something to me and see if that echoes.
No.
Okay. Let me just get me on the board a couple of times. Let me. That's all right, sweetie. This is the where you've had to come in a couple of times. Try that. Yeah.
Hello.
There, works. It was you were in the board twice. That was why it was echoing.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So how did you enjoy that sunshine?
I enjoyed it a lot. What came up was mainly more emotional and my horse feeling frustrated.
Ah, excellent. Are you familiar with the, I got to tell you, the day I read this, it was in Linda Kohanov's book, Writing Between the Worlds, there was the messages of the, you know, the messages that all the different emotions bring us was in the back of the book. And mm-hmm. I read these words, frustration is what happens when we're, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting it to turn out differently. And I burst into tears. I can still remember. It was one of those profound moments in my life. I can remember I was facing the wall. I leaned over my printer. I was pouring tears into the printer because I'd spent the greatest part of my adult life doing things over and over again in the same way and expecting it to turn out differently. That's the definition of frustration.
Yep.
So if he's feeling frustrated, the message is, what has to be done differently? What needs changing? So if you just pay gentle attention to your outward breath for a second, just drop back into that place. now, softening and smiling with your eyes. And just make a conscious decision, just a gentle conscious decision, to understand what it is that has to change for that frustration to just disappear. It will disappear that fast when you figure out what has to change. It's that easy and that fast. Did you feel your shoulders just go down about 2 inches?
Yes.
Now, you're new to us, or pretty new to us, so you may or may not be familiar with the fact that I feel you in the same way you feel your horse. That's one of my skills as a teacher, that even across time and space with you on the other side of the world, judging by your accent, you're on the other side of the world.
Yes.
I actually felt your shoulders go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, again, I mean, I'm good at what I do, but it's nothing special. It's the same feel that you just felt for your horse when you felt that frustration, when you felt that emotional frustration. It's exactly the same thing. Pretty cool,
yeah.
Eh? pretty useful when I'm teaching. So well done. Well done you. So clearly emotional feel, emotions are one of your big natural talents. So you can, you know, we talked at the end of the meditation about how it's just communication. It's just communication. It's not, you know, feeling frustrated isn't wrong. It's just communication. The only thing is, you don't want to be like me, spending 48 years stuck in it. Because
right.
I tell you, spending 48 years stuck in it, that was one of the reasons that Jenny Pierce used to be one of the most angry ladies on the planet, because she was stuck in frustration, and the rage and explosiveness comes from that frustration. Gosh, you know, I've blessed Linda Cohen-Ogg many times for putting that work in the back of that book. Yeah, bless her cotton socks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, who else are we going to? We're probably going to have a bit of an echo with you, Mary, but we'll, because you're on the board a couple of times, but we'll see if we can get a decent sound. I've opened you up, Mary. Are you there? No, I'll close that one down. Let me open further up. Looks like you had a bit of trouble dropping out and coming back in again. Can you hear me, Mary? Okay, no worries. Susanna, you're a long-time student with really good feel already. How did you enjoy that? Either I've not got people talking to me, or it might be that the mic's not. You haven't got a mic on the other end. Who else is down here? Adrian, I know she's got a mic because we've talked before.
I hope so. can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, excellent.
How the heck are you, sunshine?
Well, like Susan, I also have a new horse.
Mm.
And it's the very first time in my whole life that I have bought a horse that is sensitive.
Ew.
I've, well, a sensitive thoroughbred mare.
Okay.
Not a chestnut, though. Yay. but it's, I've never felt comfortable with sensitive horses because, I mean, you know, I'm like you, years of, I was just so out there with so much energy and so blunt that it's like draft horses were perfect, right? Because they just went, meh. But for a horse like B, they just completely shut down because it was just too much, right?
Yeah.
And it was interesting because when we were doing the meditation, what I got, I mean, it was just this overwhelming fear and sadness.
Oh.
I've had her for like a month, and it's like, she is such a dear, and it's like, I've been working with her, and she's like really responding to me. But it's like, she's got body problems you wouldn't believe. She'd been leased out to like a 14-year-old girl for like the last 3 years. Had been ridden poorly. Her body shows it. She's just, I mean, and it's like, bless her, she's just the sweetest thing in the universe. And
so, Adrian, you're familiar with the idea that when you understand the feelings that they're communicating, when you feel inside and you feel her fear and her sadness, that when you understand what to know or do about that, that the feelings in you go away. This is such an important point that I probably didn't make enough of during the meditation. But because I wanted people to feel and flow with the rightness of the feelings first. But you already know that those feelings go away when you understand them. So what is she telling you?
Well, it's interesting because it's exactly something that Susan and I were talking about the other day, where it's like, you know, when we were teenagers, we used to just go hang with the horses. I mean, you know, we just go to the barn and just be there. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, not do anything, not go ride, not, you know, just be there. And that's really something that was just very recently. And that is something that's been like coming back to my mind, and coming back to my mind is like,
well, that's your mental feel at work sometimes.
Yeah, well, that she wants me to spend more time like just doing nothing.
Yeah.
Just hanging out together, just being together. But
so notice, even as you're talking, Adrian, even as you're talking, notice what's changing in your body, because there is a tension leaving your body now.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Yeah, I know, because I can feel it actually lifting off you. She was also, amongst the fear and the sadness, she was communicating the tension in her body as well. So as you're understanding, see, what you've got here is a horse who has no comfort zone.
I don't think so. No, she's...
No, this is clear. Yeah. There is no comfort zone. So hanging with her and doing nothing will actually establish a comfort zone. And from an established comfort zone, then you can start expanding it with activities and, you know, into the routine of the life. But when you've got a horse with no comfort zone at all, then really hanging with them from a distance for some horses,
yeah,
they can't even hang with them in the paddock. Yeah,
yeah,
the only thing you can do is the place to start. And the wonder of that, because that hanging with her and establishing a comfort zone is going to bring the pair of you great joy.
Well, it's, you know, how can I say, I've gotten to the point now in my life where it's like, I don't necessarily want to do anything with my horses in that I don't want to show them. I don't want to, you know, go to clinics.
You just want to enjoy them.
I just want to, you know, be there with them. So it's like, this is something else that Susan and I have talked about, that she has a similar, issue, with her new mare, is they're very compliant.
Yeah.
And it's an enforced compliance where it's like, that's how they've learned to stay safe, is to be compliant. And
that's how they've learned to stay physically safe. They're
right,
not emotionally
exactly.
safe,
yeah,
mentally safe.
Exactly.
But it stops them from getting beaten up.
Yeah, it's survival. You know,
yeah.
It's a survival.
Yeah.
And actually, you ought to talk to Susan about the change in her horse, Haley, when she started, like, giving her a choice of, you know, do you want to be with me? Do you want to go someplace else? Do you want to do, you know, where she realized, when she realized she had a choice, the change in her behavior was dramatic.
Mm.
And I'm not there with V yet. I mean, she is just trying to keep herself extremely small. I mean, I really wanted to call her Mouse because it's like she wants to hide in the corner.
Yeah, but that name, name's not going to suit her in the long term.
No, well, it's like don't name a horse Buck, right? I don't care if it's a buckskin. Do not name your horse Buck.
here's a thought.
You'll get it.
No idea whether this is of any use to you. But the name that just popped into my mind was Her Majesty. I think she's going to be majestic.
She might very well be.
I've
never had such difficulty naming a horse. And, I mean, I ran through I don't know how many names. I mean, her registered name is Tricky Flyer. I'm not going with that one at all. The people called her Fly. And I'm like, I am not having a horse named after an insect. I mean, actually, Susan was the one that came up with the name. She was like, well, why don't you call her Beatrice? And it's like, well, that's kind of long.
Well, that's majestic as well.
Well, there's been Queen Beatrice.
That's right.
In the Netherlands, I think, somewhere.
Yeah.
In Europe. And
there's some in history too.
Yeah, and it's like so. I was like, I like one syllable names. So it's like, well, B works. You know, B E A.
Okay. Pause for a second. Pause for a second, Dal, because we've got somebody on the chat room that Sandra's just come into me who's got a terrible connection, and has to go to work. So,
go. Yeah.
So hang on a second. This is for Susanna. She's got tension in her shoulders and the base of her neck. So stay with me, Adrian, because we'll finish chatting in a second. So, Susanna, just pay gentle attention to that tension in the shoulders and the back of the neck, knowing that this is just your horse communicating with you. You're a long-time student, so you already know this, but I'm doing this for everybody else on the call as well. So paying gentle attention to your outward breath and kind of smiling at that tension in your shoulders and your neck, knowing the rightness of that communication. Of this horse community. Allowing yourself to setting a sweet and a deliberate thought to understand what that tension in your shoulders and what that communication. Yeah. how you can help it. And the answer doesn't need to flow straight. It might come in when you wake up in the morning. You might have the answer. It might float in during the day. It might float in over the next few days. It might float in the next featuring time. It might float in when you actually pick this horse up before the next featuring time to see how you can help them with this tension. But when you set an intention in this place of feeling inside yourself, it is extremely powerful. And the answer will flow in the perfect time. So for those who are new to this work, let's just talk for a minute about what we're doing here. Susanna was experiencing tension in her neck and shoulders that were the horse communicating with her. And she's opened herself to notice what that communication is trying to tell her. The answer clearly didn't flow in the moment, and sometimes the more you practice, the easier it gets, and the more it's likely to flow, the answer's likely to flow straight away in the moment with the click of her fingers. But in this case it didn't, so she's smiling at the feeling and allowing it, knowing the rightness of it as communication. And then, because the answer still didn't flow, she's just set this gentle, intention, this sweet, gentle decision to understand what that tension in her neck and shoulders is trying to tell her. What the horse is trying to tell her. How she can help this horse who's experiencing this tension in their shoulders and their neck. Yeah, it's this easy and this clear. So what's going to happen for Susanna is she will wake up in the morning with the answer, or she will be sweeping down her stables and the answer will just pop into her mind and she'll go, oh my God, that's how we've got to help this horse. Well, she'll be working with this horse before the next feet trimming session to see how she can help with this stress and tension before the feet trimmer comes, and the answer will flow. Sometime the answer's just going to pop into her mind and she'll go, ah, that's it. And meantime, she's already got a happier horse because she's opened up to the communication from it. So the horse is already happier and less tense. Gosh, this is such a beautiful process, and I'm thrilled to be that you brought that up, Susanna. Thank you. Yeah, so, Adrian, that kind of helped you too, didn't it? That interruption was perfect, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Yeah. Wait for the lick and chew.
Yeah, wait for the lick and chew. And just so that everybody knows what we're laughing at, we've noticed in the past that the human's lick and chew as well. that a flood of saliva can kind of come in your mouth and you know, when you get an understanding. And I'm not sure if that's a communication from the horse or whether that's literally mine. It doesn't really matter, yeah. Oh, okay, sweetheart. Pleasure to hear your voice.
It seems like, you know, somehow, like a year and a half kind of got, like, plucked out of my life.
Nothing will do that to you.
Well, that, you know, COVID and everything else, it's like all of a sudden
oh, yes.
Kind of went weird.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, lovely to hear you. Take care.
Yep, you too, sweetheart.
Alrighty.
Okay. Cheryl Marshall, I'm going to open you up because I think you came in from webcast. Cheryl, did you come in from webcast? Were you listening on webcast and then came in on web call so that you
yes.
could talk to me?
Yes,
oh, super. Super. So there we go. I've opened you up.
Are you?
No, you're not meant to be able to see me, sweetheart. It's an audio seminar.
Okay.
Yep. So, how did you enjoy that? Let me just explain why I choose audio seminars. Because far too many horse people live out in the country without super good internet, and they have enough trouble getting audio to sound really well. And if they had pictures, they simply wouldn't be able to join in.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's why I choose audio. So what came up for you in that meditation?
Actually, I missed the meditation.
Cool. Oh, so you've only just joined us?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. Welcome. In a couple of hours, I'll have the recording up with the slides and stuff. So, and I'll make sure the slides are accessible on the recording. So, oh no, I won't be able to do that. Never mind. Because the timing of them. Oh, I'll put the slides up anyway, just so that you can see them.
Okay.
Yes, there'll be a recording anyway. Nice to hear your voice and welcome to this.
Thank you.
Welcome to our beautiful community.
Yes. Great people.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
Okay. A bit of a newbie about it all, though.
Are you? What, newbie to horses?
No. Animal communication, just feel and
all that. So you've got a glorious journey in front of you.
Yeah.
So take that opportunity. This is a great opportunity, sweetheart, of talking to me live. Take your attention inside yourself. Just pay gentle attention to your outward breath for a second. And the way that the lower part of your ribs just squashes that last little bit of air from your lungs. And feel how wonderful the idea is of enjoying the journey, of actually being able to use this communication with your horse to enjoy the journey, for both of you to enjoy the journey. Doesn't that feel delicious?
Yes.
Now, the glorious thing is that because you've just done that, because you've just felt that in this space of feeling inside yourself, you're manifesting that. That's what you're manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
To enjoy the journey of the communication itself. Wow. What a wonderful start. What a wonderful start to your journey. And welcome to our lovely community. They're a pretty special bunch around here. Okay, Roz is in from Wales, and gosh, it'll be midnight in Wales, so she's a rock star who's still up listening. I've just opened you up, Roz.
Hi. Yes. Hello. Yeah, it's actually only just gone 10 here, but I got the time difference wrong, so I've missed so much, but I'll watch the recording.
Oh, okay, so you've only just come in. You weren't listening on webcast.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we had some interesting things happening. All the beautiful slides that I'd prepared all disappeared into the ether. And they didn't work. But, well, you know, we we managed to do a really good seminar anyway. So, your name's not familiar to me, Roz.
I emailed you. My email address is Zora, so you'll have got me.
Oh, my.
I was the one that was struggling to figure out what time it was going to be.
Oh.
As it turned out, I never quite got there. Never mind.
Never mind. Never mind. So are you new to this work?
I've been trying to do natural horsemanship with my horses for the past 3 years. But I've got six of them. They're all green, and I'm really not very well. I've got fibromyalgia, so trying to find good energy to work with six horses, I'm finding really difficult.
Okay. You are seriously in the right place, Roz.
Yeah.
Because fibromyalgia is completely fixable. and the kind of work that we did in this seminar, as it cascades out into the rest of your life, will actually help you heal as well.
Well, that would be amazing. The horses are wonderful. I love them, and there are four of us, so I'm not the only person looking after them, but I am the only person who's kind of trying to bring them on in this way. And as I mentioned in my email, I've got two that struggle to bear their own weight, particularly the one that has wobblers. So, you know, his proprioception is nowhere. He just doesn't know where his feet are. So when you pick up one of his feet, he panics. So we've done this very slow work to try to teach him that it's safe to have his feet up, but he still finds it really difficult.
That's an interesting one. I've only come across one other horse with wobblers, and it wasn't as bad as what you're describing. Yeah,
he's just... So his balance is okay if you arrange his feet for him, but he still, you know, he freaks out. So.
It's going to be interesting when you apply the stuff in the seminar and on the web page that goes with the seminar, when you apply that, if you can reduce the fear enough to make a big improvement in that. I would suspect that you will, because the horse with wobblers that I came across before was someone who was on the fast track program. He bought a new horse, and it turned out that this new horse had wobblers. And because she was working with it in this way, I'm wondering if that's why. Yes, he had trouble with his feet, but nowhere near as bad as you're describing. Fear would definitely make it worse. There's no question in my mind that fear would make it worse. So, okay, I look forward to hearing how that goes.
Yeah, let me know.
Speaking of, look, this is a bit weird because I don't normally do this in seminars, but the Fast Track program, it's called Fast Track to Brilliant Riding, but it's not just for riding. There's vast amounts of it that aren't about riding. It's about systematically working our way through our horse's life, reducing the stress and tension, and, you know, all the way through to the saddle work. And we had something happen a month or so ago that made me realise that the videos on the Fast Track program are old. You know, I put them up about 9 years ago now, and the technology 9 years ago wasn't as good as it is now, and the quality of the videos has got that kind of old look about them, you know, where they're not quite as sharp and vivid as the modern stuff that I'm putting up. So what I did, I've made a decision that I need to go back in and bring every one of those 81 lessons up and redo the quality of the video, which is an enormous amount of work, and I've got no idea when I'm going to do it, and I've got no idea when that job's going to get done. So what I did is I reduced the price of Fast Track from $650 to $200. And that's the price of it until I fix the videos.
All right, it's good to know. It's still more money than I've got at the moment.
That's okay, sweetheart. But, wow. Wow, that's, and I don't know how long that's gonna be, but I just figured that was a fair thing. So, anybody who's looking for that can just go through to the training page and give themselves a Christmas present. The training page is at the top of my website. And the Fast Track program will be under the horse programs. We've done a bit of a change to the training page. It's now separated into horse programs, healing programs, and business programs. Because we've just stepped down into corporate work with the Einstein Factor stuff, which is very exciting. Okay, everybody, does anybody have any questions before I finish up? Hit star, press star 2 to let me know that you've got a question. Anybody in the chat room with a question before we finish up? Sandra will pass that question along to me if you've got one. Gosh, we've got quite a few people here from Europe. Good on you for being up so late in the evening. And some of the Canadian ones are must be getting pretty close to midnight as well. That's commitment. Okay. No questions. Perfect. Feel free to email me if you have any questions later. Gosh, this has been such a fascinating seminar to do, as well as I can feel it reverberating out into the world. So have fun with it, everyone. Lots of love to you all, and see you next time. Hang on, let me just open it all up to say goodbye. Goodbye,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.